Daisy.
And I'm Terry.
And this is the Monday Mindset Podcast,
where we talk about things of interest to us and hopefully to you.
So let's get started with episode number 28.
This week, it's Daisy's turn to share something with us. Daisy, what do you have today?
Well, Terry, we're back again with Rangan Chatterjee's podcast, Feel Better, Live More, one of my favorites, as you know. This is number 124. Why Changing Your Breath Will Transform Your Body and Mind with James Nestor. I found this episode fascinating, all about things that we do, two things that we do, breathing, obviously, you can tell by the title, but also chewing. Two things we do without really thinking about, but actually we probably should be thinking about them a little bit more. Jam-packed episode of 2 hours. He's very much getting into these long, long forms, but it's one of those ones where it's really worth listening to the episode if you're at all interested in the subject, because there was so much useful and really interesting information in there. What I really liked about this guest is, although he has a book, which I haven't read yet, but do intend to read, it's called Breath. He's a science journalist, so he's a natural-born skeptic, basically. He likes hearing people's stories, and he's very interested in subjective points of view, but he wants proof. He really likes to listen to, collate all the information, but find out about studies and be able to verify whether or not what people are saying actually has some solid foundation. I liked that about him. The other thing I liked about him, that he was very upfront in saying that a lot of the things he talks about, he certainly tries to implement them himself, but he by no means has this down pat. You know, he's not perfect at all in all these things. And I like that. That resonated with a bit what I'm like too. So as you can tell, it's all about breathing and the importance of how we breathe. And apparently the average person breathes about 25,000 times a day and takes in 30 pounds of air into their lungs. And optimizing that breathing really is key to optimizing your health and well-being. Something that you just don't think about what you're doing. Anyone who's been at all interested in it will know that there are lots and lots of different breathing practices, breathing techniques. And although he finds all those interesting, he says that studies of breathing and conscious breathing practice goes back thousands and thousands of years. And there are so many different ways of doing it. He's less interested in the actual techniques and just the overall practice of the type of breathing they're talking about. He said they all basically sort of come down to the same thing, and more interested in the impact that it has on people and the changes that it can make. And the subtitle of the book is The New Science of a Lost Art. And he says it's a really interesting thing that, as he said, talking about the importance of breathing goes back thousands of years, and it's something that seems to have been studied and accepted that it's really important. And then people start thinking they know better and move away from it. And he says it just goes in these waves of it being this new science and then a lost art, and then it's sort of being rediscovered and people studying it, and then it sort of getting lost again and over again. And as Rangan mentions a bit later, there seems to be a bit of a resurgence in the last few years. People will probably have heard of different popular techniques and people having different programs. I guess you've probably heard of people like Wim Hof and people who've become sort of, you know, quite the celebrity with talking about breathing techniques and the kind of impact it has. So it's really had this bit of a resurgence in the last few years. So he spoke to, and he was very skeptical about the whole thing, wasn't really interested in breathing at all. But it's one of those things that kept cropping back up, either with his own experience or things he was reading. And so it was just one of those things that it was just something that he couldn't ignore anymore, which is why he decided to write a book about it. And so he spoke to an awful lot of people who had studied it. And he wanted to evaluate all the theories and look at the studies. So there are so many methods and practices which are the best. And as he said, most of them, they just all basically boil down to the same kind of thing, which really is focusing on slow breathing through the nose and basically breathing less often. And he says the first step, and the first step, I think, pretty well every time when it comes to thinking about change, is an awareness of what you're doing now. And the key thing about breathing is breathing through your nose. Nasal breathing, your nose, it's there for a very good reason. All the air that you intake, your nose acts as something that humidifies, pressurizes, filters and conditions the air that goes into your lungs. So it's preparing that air for your lungs so that it's more easily absorbed and it's easier for your lungs to extract the most oxygen it can from it. You know, that's what they're there for. If you breathe through your mouth, you're losing all these benefits, or you're at least greatly diminishing them. And he says, which I thought was a great way of thinking about it, that you basically need to then start thinking about your lungs as an external organ. You're exposing them to all the things that are in that air. So he was saying, for example, he lives in a city. He doesn't particularly want to expose his lungs to the air that's just coming straight in off the city streets. And I mean, think about the environment we're in at the moment. Think about COVID.
Absolutely.
Your nose is actually playing a very, very important function there. So yes, so how you breathe, breathing through your nose, very important and extremely important when you're asleep. You spend a third of your life asleep and you're breathing all that air in, and it's really important that you do so through your nose. And it has a really big impact on things like sleep apnea and snoring. And he talks a little bit about mouth taping. And this is something I've heard about before, and it kind of sounds a little bit scary. And you kind of imagine, you know, sort of sealing your mouth shut with some duct tape or something. And it's not like that at all. He actually demonstrates, and I'll put a timestamp so you can watch the podcast interview on YouTube. And he actually demonstrates with just a little bit of tape, and he carries on speaking through it. And he says what he's doing is training his mouth without actually restricting, so he could keep breathing through his mouth if he wanted to. But it's just like a slight reminder to carry on the conscious adopting of nasal breathing that you can do during the day when you're aware of it and you're thinking about it. That's just a little reminder for when he's asleep. And he's noticed huge differences. But he says he always wants to go that bit further. So his subjective experience was positive, but there are studies being done, I think it was at Stanford University, and there are results coming out that are really showing some really good benefits, particularly with things like sleep apnea, that people are finding that their sleep apnea and things like snoring are greatly improved. And apparently, when you breathe through your nose as opposed to your mouth, you get 20% more oxygen with every breath. And sleep apnea, quite a common phenomenon these days. Rongan was asking the question, is this something that's always been a problem? How can we tell whether this is much more of a modern phenomenon? And James talks about how we don't necessarily have records to look at from years and years ago, but what we do have are skeletons. So we can look at the shape of people's skulls and their teeth. And apparently, in most cases, people had very straight teeth and they had very powerful jaws with larger nasal apertures, which shows that they had greater breathing ability. And now it's much more common to have crooked teeth, smaller mouths, smaller jaws, tighter airways, more respiratory problems, more problems with things like asthma, sleep apnea, and so on. The other thing that goes hand in hand with this is chewing. And again, it's this progression. As food has become softer, more refined, we need to chew food less. Our faces have basically, the structure has become weaker. You use it less, it develops less. It talks about all the different things from breastfeeding through to the type of foods that children are weaned on to the type of foods we eat as adults. They wanted to make a point of saying they didn't want, and Rongan's always like this, doesn't want to put forward any one particular diet, that it was important to have something to chew. So whether you're vegan, whether you're carnivore, whether you're anything in between, basically just having something that you've got to break down. And Rongan says something great, which I'm going to use as a quote later, but he says, if we live, eat and breathe in the way that we have evolved to, we will be more thriving, healthy, happier human beings. And James Nestor comes back, responds to that with saying, yes, nature did it for us. We think we're a bit smarter and we try to change things, but we really need to just go back to how we're designed to operate, how we're supposed to breathe, how we're supposed to eat, and so on. And it really is important to use it or lose it. We understand that with muscles, like with working out, but it's the same thing with chewing and with nasal breathings. Our bodies adapt and they get a bit lazy. An interesting point here, that bone density starts to decline from about age 30, but there's an exception, and that's the bones in your face. Your jaw can actually be improved, and you can increase the bone density in your jaw at any age. And it's actually been proven with studies. And he actually did an experiment with that and did before and after CAT scans and did increase the bone density in his face. But basically, long story short, he did a sort of shortcut version. But chewing is what tones your face. It increases this bone density and it tones your airways. And he said, think of your airway as a muscle and you have to work it out. And a really interesting thing about chewing, when you're chewing food that you have to chew for a while, you tend to chew from one side to the other. You chew on one side and then you switch it to the other and it goes backwards and forwards. And as you do that, it triggers a parasympathetic response, which is a relaxation response, and it aids digestion. He said, think of what you do in times of stress when you clench your jaw, both sides together at the same time, which in contrast triggers a sympathetic response and it makes it hard to digest. And that relaxed response is also where you can increase this bone density. I thought that was really, really interesting. Coming back again to the breathing in this area of stress versus relaxation and the impact it has on every aspect of your life. And it says it's important to think as much about breathing out carbon dioxide as it is taking in oxygen. And often the problem is that people breathe too much. We need to breathe less. It's important to slow down your breathing and take fewer breaths. Oxygen is absorbed in the lungs. So for one thing, your breath needs to get right down into your lungs. So the shallower you're breathing, the less breath actually reaches your lungs. But to get right down to the bottom of your lungs, apparently it's the lower lobes that absorb most of the oxygen. So the shallower and more frequent your breaths are, they don't get to the part of your lungs where you can absorb the most oxygen. So the fewer breaths you take, the more efficient you get at absorbing oxygen and taking the most out of the air that you breathe. But also, the less pressure you put on your heart, so it lowers blood pressure and basically harmonizes all the systems in your body. It increases things like lymphatic flow. So really, really is important. And Rongen talks about slowing down and using transition periods between something that might be a bit stressful, like work and coming home, and using something like a slow breathing exercise could be a really good way of doing that. They talk about how many cultures have a period before eating to slow down and transition to that eating. And going back to that, the way you chew triggers that parasympathetic relaxation response. James Nestor was saying that he thinks it's no coincidence that a lot of cultures have this brief period of transition at the dinner table where you sit down and say grace, for example. You take a few minutes before you eat to slow down. And just to finish on that, and I was certainly thinking that could be a good practice to start observing. I'm not religious, so it wouldn't be a saying grace type moment for me, but maybe just, you know, just taking a couple of minutes to do some slow breathing with that. I know sometimes you're thinking, you know, why bother doing these things? But when you realize it has this knock-on effect of actually aiding digestion, and potentially, Rongen mentions in another part of the podcast, can actually really impact things like weight loss and all sorts of things, far-reaching ripple effects. But it just made me think, and this is where I'll finish. People talk about the French diet paradox. You know, how come the French can eat red wine and rich food, and they've put it down maybe to a certain combinations in the diet? You know, is it the red wine? Is it this? Is it that? Well, maybe actually the key here is the fact that the French tend to slow down when they eat. It is typical for most people, most the typical worker's lunch is to take at least 1.5, 2 hours for lunch. And they go and they sit down, and they usually sit down with friends and they take time over a meal in a relaxed fashion, which if what they're saying is correct about breathing, which all makes sense logically to me, you're making it easier for your body to digest the food as it should be digested. I just found it very, very interesting. Things that we take for granted, things that we don't really think about, that maybe we should be paying a little bit more attention to, that we're doing in as optimal way as possible, and could actually end up having a huge impact on every part of our lives and health and well-being.
One of the things I really appreciated hearing you describe, Daisy, is I think sometimes when I learn about something like this, I think about, okay, there's a new strategy I need to try. I need to find a time in the day to practice this. And, you know, I've listened to a lot of different things about breathing and, you know, do this strategy and do this strategy. But really, it sounds like his work is really focused on breathing less, slowing our breath, and breathing more through our nose. So many benefits can be gained that way, that we don't have to focus on implementing a particular breathing strategy at this time of day and for this and do this. And it doesn't have to be so complicated, really just to simplify this improvement of our health, the parasympathetic nervous system being so important in lowering cortisol and lowering stress, which all of us could use more of. So very cool to hear that we could really simplify this.
You've got it in one. That's exactly pretty much what he says a few times, is, you know, that it doesn't have to be complicated. Mm-hmm. And it really is just being aware. And I've listened to, and I will put links to those, I've listened to previous episodes about the importance of breathing in certain ways. And I've just noticed that I've just been more aware of it, because I wouldn't say I was too much a mouth breather, but too often a mouth breather. And so just as I've become more aware of it and sort of think to myself, oh, hey, you're breathing through your mouth, there's really no good reason to do that. And just focus on, start breathing through your nose. Mm-hmm. And usually that also helps slow your breathing down a bit, which is also beneficial.
And also the slower, deeper breath. Mm. That was interesting to learn that the kind of deeper recesses of the lungs are where we will absorb more oxygen. You know, as a psychologist, I used to often teach people just to do some diaphragmatic breathing to calm them and to alleviate panic sensation. And so it really fits in with this topic as well.
Yes, and they talk a lot about the connection with people with anxiety, problems with asthma. And it's really, if it's anything that you think impacts you, there's so much information in the episode. It would really be worth going and listening to the whole thing, because obviously it's difficult to capture much of it in this episode. But it's really, I was just blown away with the impact that just something like the way you chew, mm-hmm. just thinking about things in different ways, certainly from sort of our perspective that we come from a sort of keto low carb way of eating, you know, we have a reason for thinking that overly processed and refined foods aren't a great choice. But actually coming from it from this completely different angle, forget about the diet and nutrition content. Those foods are not a good choice because they're soft and you're not chewing them. And so your jaw is becoming weaker. And as your jaw becomes weaker, your airways get narrower and you're more likely to start developing respiratory problems. You're more likely to be asthmatic. You're more likely to develop sleep apnea. And, you know, it's just like, yeah.
I'm going to remind you of that, Daisy, next summer when it's ice cream season again.
Ice cream doesn't count, Terry.
Mm-hmm. So it sounds like, Daisy, from your explanation of this episode, it's jam-packed with tons of great information. It's a great episode to go back and listen to if people are interested. But again, just taking these simple takeaways of paying attention to how you breathe, nasal breathing and slowing it down, that we can really make some changes in our health and our mental health as well.
Absolutely. The first thing I did when I started hearing about this sort of information was just being a bit more aware. So that's what I would suggest, is that you just start thinking about this thing that's automatic and notice, do you breathe through your mouth? Do you breathe through your nose? If you breathe through your mouth, try breathing through your nose a bit more often and go from there.
Sounds good.
So on that note, happy breathing, happy chewing, and have a very wonderful week.
Take good care, everybody. Bye-bye.
Bye.